بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خيار المجلس. Or the right to annul the contract while in the sitting. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. نسأل الله تعالى أن يوفقنا لما يحب ويرضى وأن نسأل الله ربنا أن تعلمنا ما ينفعنا وأن تنفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I'd like to welcome all of you back to our lesson today, which is a continuation of the commentaries of the hadith in the chapter of the business transactions in the book Buluugh al-Maram by the Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, with the commentary of our noble Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Salim, which was given in Masjid al-Nabawi, and may Allah have mercy on his soul. Ameen. And inshallah today we'd like to continue in the chapter regarding the business transactions. And the hadith we left off on was regarding the returning of an item that has been sold. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, whoever takes back an item that he sold to a Muslim because the Muslim wanted to return it to him, then Allah will take back his regrets on the Day of Judgment. مَنْ أَقَالَ مُسْلِمًا أَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَثْرَتَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامِ. Whoever takes back an item that a person who bought it regretfully wishes to return it, then Allah will take back his regrets on the Day of Judgment. And we mentioned that this is from the good character of the Muslim, that even though he's not obliged to take back something that he sold to a Muslim brother, the contract is finished, it's a binding contract, but he, out of his own good character and good nature, he willfully cancels out the contract, according to one view of the scholars, or he buys back what he sold to the Muslim who regretted it. This is also from the good character of the Muslim. And we mentioned previously that this is not only for a Muslim, but the ulama say that even if one were to do this to a non-Muslim, take back something that he bought or cancel a contract that he regretted, this is from the good character that could lead to that person becoming Muslim. So it's good to do that with our Muslim brothers, and if we do this with the non-Muslims, they are potential Muslims. And by seeing this good character from us, this would be a form of inviting them to Islam, inshaAllah ta'ala. And we closed last time with the story of Ibn Hanafiya, the son of Ali radiallahu anhu, and the way that he dealt with his half-brother Hassan, the grandson of the Prophet ﷺ. Ibn Hanafiya, when he got into a dispute with his brother Hassan, he went home and he wanted to go to his brother Hassan and tell him, I'm sorry for what happened between us, please forgive me. But instead he wrote a letter to Hassan and told Hassan, come to my house. If you get this letter, take your robe and take your shoes and come to my house, because I want you to have the reward of being the one who came to seek forgiveness. If I go to your house, I will have the virtue and the fadila. So I want you to be the one who has this virtue of coming and seeking to mend relations with me. And the reason for that, he said, because you are the son of the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ. Hassan was the son of Fatima. And Ibn Hanafiya, he was the son of Hanafiya, who was a slave woman. She was not from the family of the Prophet ﷺ. So he wanted to give that virtue to the son of the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in any case, this shows you that the taking back of an item that is sold to somebody who regrets it is something from the good character of the Muslim, inshallah ta'ala. And it doesn't only apply to sales transactions, but even words or our relations with others, taking back somebody's regret. If somebody said something, he asked for forgiveness, and we accept their forgiveness, or we accept to forgive them, this will be a cause for Allah taking our regrets back. Khair, inshaAllah. So let's go to the new hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala. This hadith is narrated by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, who said, عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Up to here, when we have a hadith where it says, عن رسول الله. عن, it means on the authority of. This means that Ibn Umar, either he heard it directly from the Prophet ﷺ, or he learned it from him, or he heard it from, it's not from Ibn Umar's words. When he says, عن رسول الله, this is called a marfu hadith. That means it's coming from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, عن رسول الله sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال إذا تبايع الرجلان. If two men, they sell to each other. تبايع in Arabic, it means two people engage in a contract or in a transaction of buying and selling. And here the ulama say the word tabaya, it could mean that they are negotiating, they are they're trying to come to a consensus of what price the item should be, they're negotiating the price, or it could mean that they already signed the contract, or they already did the sale. It could mean that they are still in the process of negotiating the price. Or it could mean that they've already taken, they've sold something to each other. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if two people, they negotiate or they sell to each other. Say somebody comes to you with a car, and he says, I want 500 for this car. And you say, no, I'll give you 400. And then you keep negotiating. This is called tabaya in Arabic. And the same word, it could mean that he says, I sold you the car for 500 and you say, I accept. It could have either of the two meanings. Either one, that you're negotiating the price, or that you've actually sold the car, sold the item already. And the reason why the scholars mentioned the two meanings is because the scholars are going to base a ruling based on this definition. The ruling of whether you can cancel that contract or not. That's going to be dependent on how they understood this word. No. So we'll get to that, inshallah ta'ala. So, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, if two people, they sold something to each other. They sold something to each other. Two rajulani. Rajulani. And here, does anybody know what the word rajul means in Arabic? Man. So the hadith, literally it says, if two men, they engaged in a transaction. So what about two women then? Does that mean this hadith doesn't apply to two women? What about a man and a woman? Does it only apply to two men? No, that's not what is meant by this. What is meant is that two people that engage in a transaction. There's no implicit meaning here. If two people engage in a transaction. Now, so what happens? The Prophet ﷺ said, فَكُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمَا بِالْخِيَارِ. Now this is the important part of the hadith. The two people have the right to annul the contract. They have the right to nullify the contract. As long as they are in the initial sitting or the initial gathering. So somebody comes to you, he wants to buy a car. You say, I'll sell it to you for 500. He gives you the $500. And you're still in the same sitting. Before you leave that sitting, either party has a right to cancel the contract. Either party can say, no, I changed my mind. I don't want the car anymore. The person can give you he can give you the keys to the car back and you can take the money back. You have to. Or the seller can say, I changed my mind. I don't want to sell it to you anymore. Give me the car back and I'll give you your money. As long as you are in the same sitting, what the Prophet ﷺ said, that the seller, the two people, the two parties in the transaction, they have the right to annul the contract as long as they did not separate and part ways. As long as we're still negotiating or we're still talking about the sale, or even some of the ulama say that you wrote the contract, you sold it, you gave the money, but you didn't leave the place yet. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, either party has a right to annul the contract. This is called the khiyar majlis. They have the right to annul the contract. As long as what? They didn't leave the place of gathering. So say they are in a store, he took the money, the other part, the buyer took the keys and they left the store. Now once they go outside of the store, can either of them come back and say, I changed my mind, I don't want it anymore? According to Islamic law, no. Not because he just changed his mind. If there's a problem with the car or something else, he can come back. But if he just comes back and he says, I don't want the car anymore, the contract is already written and bind, it's binding. So what this hadith means is that the sale becomes binding on both parties as long as they have left the place of gathering, the place where they did the sale. If they're still in the same place, can they change their mind? They have a choice. As long as they're still sitting down, they haven't left for each other. They haven't separated from each other. They either side can back out. They can annul the contract. Is that clear for everybody? You see that? So one is, if they're still in the same initial gathering, the initial sitting, they sat down, they're exchanging the money or the paperwork, etc. As long as they're sitting with one another, either side can annul the contract. But as soon as they leave the premises, then what happens after you leave the premises? Can you go back and say, I changed my mind? Then you cannot cancel the contract out. This is what the hadith, what the hadith says of the Prophet ﷺ. As long as they do not separate from each other. Now the question is, what does it mean to separate from each other? Does it mean that one of them just turned his back, and then he comes back and he says, wait, I changed my mind? You say, no, we already separated. What does it mean to separate? Yes, very good. The scholars, they say that if they're in a building, then leaving the door of the building, if it's a small building. But what if it's a very, very large building, like say an exhibition, and you have many different sellers? Does he have to leave the whole exhibition to make the contract binding? They say it's enough to just go to another seller. That means you've left the place where the initial contract was done and it becomes binding after that. And they also give some other examples. They say if you're in a ship, if it's a small ship, then when you leave the ship. This is what Imam Ahmad said. If it's a large ship, he said it's enough to go to the upper level, or go to the lower level. The contract will become binding. Yes, after that. Now, also, what about if people did a contract over the internet, or over email, or over fax, or telephone? So, how do they separate from each other? They're already apart from each other, right? So is there any way that they separate from each other? They're already separated from each other. So in this case, that they say if the sound, if they're hearing each other when they end the hearing from each other, like they hang up the phone, then that would be the end of the contract. You see that? So if you're like, for example, you're buying a car over the phone. So you're talking to each other. As long as you're in the conversation, either side can back out. He says, I want to buy the car from you. How much? 1,000? He said, okay, I bought it. And then a few minutes later, they're still talking. They didn't hang up the phone yet. He says, wait a minute. No. He gets another call from somebody else. And he says, I have a cheaper car. So then he says to the other guy, no. I want to back out. He has the right to do that as long as they didn't end the conversation. As long as he did not end the conversation. No. As long as they can hear each other. Okay, so this is the right to annul the contract. And the right to annul the contract in the same sitting, does he need to get the approval of the other party? Say you don't need to, right? Say you're the buyer, you're buying the car, and you gave him the money. And he gives you the keys. And before you leave, you did change your mind. Do you have to ask him, is it okay for me to cancel the contract? No, this is your right. This is the right that's given the Islamic law. By this hadith, that a person, while he's still in the gathering, until the time they leave, he has a right to change his mind. This is the right, and he doesn't have to ask the other party. If he leaves the premises and he comes back and he changes his mind because he didn't want it anymore, does he have to ask the other party to cancel it?
Yes.
He has to ask him. Because now the contract became final, became binding. So the concept here is that the contract becomes binding, not by the words, but by the separation of the parties. This is according to the view of the majority, the view of Shafi'i and Ahmed. Now, there's another view though, which is the view of Malik and Abu Hanifa. The view of Malik and Abu Hanifa. And they say there is no such thing as the right to annul the contract in the gathering or the sitting. And the reason they say that is that Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, fulfill your contracts. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu awfu bil uqud. So if you're sitting with a person and he says, I sold you this car for 100, and you say, I bought it, you give him the money, he gives you the keys, do you have a contract?
Yes.
You have a contract. And Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, fulfill your contracts. So Imam Malik and Abu Hanifa, they say that no, there's no right to annul. Even if you're in the same sitting, you don't have a right to annul. Because you made a contract and you have to keep your word. Right? This is what Allah says in the Quran. This is the view of Malik and Abu Hanifa. Khair, but how do they respond to this hadith? This hadith that says that the two parties to a sale, they have a right to annul as long as they didn't separate from each other. How do they understand this hadith?
The same hadith.
Remember in the beginning when we said tabaya'a, some people said it means that they sold something to each other, and some ulama they see it means they offered to each other, but they haven't actually sold it yet, right? This is the understanding of that word tabaya'a. So Malik and Abu Hanifa, they say what it means is that they are negotiating the price. The two people who are negotiating the price, either one of them has a right to back out, as long as they didn't separate. This is the way that they understood the hadith. And Imam Malik, he has, you know, so he said, say somebody came to you, how much do you want for the car? 1,000? He says, no, I want 900. And they're still negotiating, and then either of them can leave. They say, I don't want to sell it to you, I don't want to buy it for that price. They have the right to leave at any time. This is the way some of the ulama understood the hadith. Is that clear? The two views? There's the view of Shafi and Ahmed. They say that as long as you have not left the building or the premises or haven't changed the floor, either of you have a right to back out. Even if you sign the contract. Even if the sale is complete. Because it's not complete until you leave. This is one view. The other view is that the sale becomes complete as soon as you do the contract, the offering, the acceptance. That's it. This is the view of Abu Hanifa and Malik. And Malik also, he said that in the Medina, Imam Malik in his school of law, he said that he looks at the actions of the people of Medina. He was the Imam in the city of Medina. He's called Imam Dar al-Hijra. So he was the Imam of Medina, and he looked at the people of Medina and he said they didn't have this concept of the right to amal, the contract. He said once they did a contract, that's it. They kept their word. So he said that he went by that perspective. Now the other ulama, they say that the hadith is here. It's an authentic hadith. How can you deny this hadith? And they blamed Imam Malik. And they blamed Abu Hanifa. And they said, Abu Hanifa, a lot of times, when there is a single hadith, and there's a general principle or a general ayah, he ignores the hadith. And he goes by the general principle. This is what Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he did. So some of the people, this is one of the strongest criticisms of the Hanafi madhab. They say that Abu Hanifa, sometimes he'll find a hadith, but there's a general principle, which is fulfilling a contract. And this hadith says you're allowed to cancel the contract. So he goes by the general principle. And he left out the hadith. So some of the people that criticized Abu Hanifa and Malik for that reason. Now, things are clear up to here. Clear up to here, the views of the scholars on this issue of the right to annul the contract. Okay. But there's one point here that the Shaykh, he also wanted to point out, is that there was a contemporaneous person whose name was Ibn Abi Dhi'ab, who was contemporaneous with Imam Malik, and he criticized Imam Malik. He said, how can you ignore this hadith? This is an authentic hadith. And he said harsh things, or he said he criticized the view of Malik. And the Shaykh, he said that this should not take place. And we should not really, we should realize that that criticism of Malik is what happens between people when they're contemporaneous. Sometimes when two ulama, they live at the same time, they tend to be critical of each other. They have the natural differences of views, sometimes they tend to criticize each other more. And he said that you should, that this type of criticism should not be misunderstood. Because Imam Malik, he was a great Imam, and perhaps he had a reason for it. And some of the ulama said, maybe he had another hadith that we don't know about, that said that there's no annulling the contract. Maybe he had another hadith that made him have a view. So we should try to make an excuse for the Imams. And this is the character of a Muslim, or the character of a student of knowledge, is that we should always look for an excuse if we think that one of the Imams had a view that was contradictory to a hadith. We should always look for an excuse for him, inshallah ta'ala. Okay?
But isn't the hadith
close
with the Quran?
Yes, yes. Very good point you brought up here. Some of the ulama, they said, you can accept the Qur'an and the hadith and understand them together. And they said that the Qur'an, fulfill your contracts, is general. It's general in meaning that if you do a contract, fulfill it. Don't break your contracts. And the hadith that says you have the right to annul the contract while you're still sitting together, it's a specific situation. What they call, you know, a general rule and a specific situation. Sometimes you have an exception to the general rule. Right? The Quran, it says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةِ. The dead meat is forbidden for you. Right? Isn't this a general rule? Anything dead is forbidden. Right? Dead meat. This would include dead fish. Because it's general. But then if you look in the Sunnah, the Sunnah says, "أُحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ مَيْتَةً." Permissible for you are two. Permissible for you are two dead things. What are they? Fish and the locust. The locust. So you're right, Brother Ali, Jazakallah Khair. You can look at the Quranic verse as being general and the hadith as being specific. Just like the Quran prohibits dead things, and the hadith permits the dead fish. Jazakallah Khair for that. So this is the view of the majority, that the choice for the sitting is allowed and is a specific situation, inshaAllah ta'ala. Alright. Any questions up to here? Okay, we have like maybe 5 minutes left. There's a couple of things the Shaykh mentioned here about situations where the right to annul the contract gets cancelled out. The right to annul the contract in the sitting, khiyar al-majlis. There's some situations where this right, where either party can turn and leave, it gets cancelled out. You don't have that right anymore. What are these situations? One, he said that if the party tells you, are you sure you want to do this contract? If he tells you, are you sure it's binding? This is a final sale. Once we agree, it's final. If the other party tells you that and you say, yes, I agree, then do you have the right to cancel it after that? You gave up your right after that point. If you say this is binding and he asks you, do you agree that this is going to be final and binding? And you say yes, then in that case you cannot go back after that. Because he gave you the choice, because you gave up your choice, your right to annul it. Another case is if a person, like a ruler, he is selling the property of a bankrupt person. This is what the scholars have mentioned. Or somebody took some property and he's selling it off. In that case, it's binding. You cannot go back on it. Another case is that if you have inheritance and you are with the people who are inheriting, and say you have different shares of a house. So one person, he says, I'll give up my share so that I can take money instead. Say there's a house, sometimes you have like 12 people sharing one house. And it's not feasible that all of them share one house. So then they'll say, I'll give up some shares of my house and I'll take money instead. Right? They'll make some arrangement. So if they make that arrangement, they don't have the right to go back on that. Because it's considered final. Also, if there's partners in a business and the partners, they decide to dissolve the business, all of them have to agree, and then somebody comes and he buys out the property of the business. Once that's done, the partner cannot go back and say, no, I don't want to sell my share anymore. Once it's done, it's binding. That's it. Cannot back out of that. Inshallah. Alright, so to summarize everything, inshallah, the main point here, one more point, this is very interesting. If a person, he is the guardian over a child's wealth, for example, or a child's property, and he wants to sell the property of that child to himself, for some reason, so the child owns some land, and he's the guardian of that orphan, the orphan owns some land, he wants to buy the land from that orphan. For some reason, maybe he wants to invest it he wants to do something with that land, and he wants to give that orphan money in return. The guardian has that authority. So basically, he's selling the land to himself. Does he have a right to back out of that contract? No, he doesn't have a right. He cannot back out of the contract of when he sells somebody else's property that's under his authority. He has to stick to the original contract. Okay? So basically here, to summarize this hadith inshallah, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the two parties in a contract or transaction, they have the right to annul the contract as long as they have not separated from one another, and there is no choice after that one of the parties has said, are you sure or do you finalize the contract? There's no right to annul anymore. And also, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Okay. One other point here, the Shaykh mentions, and فَإِنْ خَيَرَ أَحَدُمَا الْآخَرَ فَتَبَعَيَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ وَجَبَ الْبَيْءِ. Now one other point here is that if a person, he says to the other person, before he sells it to him, he says, the person says, can you sell me this car? And then the seller, he says, no, I know you're going to go and ask your wife, you're going to ask your mom, and she might change your mind, I don't trust you. Or I don't feel comfortable selling this to you because I know you're going to go ask your mom or your wife and you might change your mind. So you say to the person, no, I agree. I'm not going to change my mind. So at that point, this is telling him before they even do the contract. He's telling him, I'm not going to change my mind. Can he go back on his word after that? No. Because he already agreed beforehand that he's not going to change his mind. And so there's no, he cannot go and make mashura or, you know, take the advice of his mom or his wife or anybody else. No. Okay, so this is the hadith, inshallah. Is there any questions? Is it clear? Is it clear that the hadith here? I pray that this makes sense for all of you. Again, let me just repeat it one last time, inshallah. The concept of khiyar and majlis, the Prophet ﷺ said that two parties to a contract have a right to annul, bil khiyar. It means they have a right to annul as long as they have not separated from each other. And we mentioned that separation, it means if they're in a store, they go out of the store. If they're in a large mall or something, they part. They go to another seller, if there's a big, you know, complex. If they go to a different floor, if they're on the phone, if one of them hangs up the phone, then it becomes binding. And if they agree within the sitting that there's not going to be any annulment afterwards, it becomes binding even within the sitting. And if they agree beforehand that it's going to be binding, then it's binding even in the sitting. This is the view of Shafi and Ahmad, rahimullah, and Abu Hanifa and Malik. They say there is no right to annul. As soon as the contract is done, it is completely binding. You can only annul it if you're negotiating, but you haven't settled on the terms yet, and then you have the choice to back out, because then this is when it will be allowed, because they go by the verse of the Quran, all you who believe, fulfill your contracts, inshallah. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Any questions? Yes. Question? No. All right. جزاكم الله خير. May Allah accept from all of you, and please don't forget to give salams.